Rockstar Podcast, episode 36, with guest Peter Dant Photography. We discuss Peter's journey through photography in the wedding world, family portraits, his experience at Bellworks and Homedel, and other parts, including growing up from Cleveland, Ohio. Hope you enjoy. Hello, and welcome to Rockstar Podcast. Six. Tony, Mariano, Lorenzo.
Lorenzo.
Tony, Mariano.
Mariano.
Mariano, how are you? We had one good week, man.
What?
We had one good
episode. Is it because I'm here? I make him nervous.
Oh, that's right. It was when you weren't here.
It is. That's what it
shut
is.
Up.
It was when you weren't here.
Okay. I'm just saying, shut up,
really Mariano. Mariano.
Actually, let me just mute you.
Mariano, you know how you're supposed to pretend that everybody has their underwear on? Yeah, okay, just pretend that Tony got his on the
God, board. Now I can't even okay, talk.
Hello,
blah, blah, blah. You're really
Mariano, how are you?
You're really sure.
I'm in some pain today.
Oh, no.
So am I, actually.
I fell down some stairs, actually.
Oh, God. Yes. How old are you?
I know, seriously.
I'm in pain, too.
Do you have one of those games. Little things that hangs around your neck?
Yeah, I know I should, right? I was, I was
alert.
A clapper? Oh, not the clapper. No.
Yeah. How old are you?
No.
You both laughed and you knew what it was.
Of course you did.
Okay, so Mariano, before we get into the
story. Are you okay?
Let me ask Tony, how are you, Tony? Are you
okay? I'm good, but I did not fall downstairs.
I'm sore and injured as well, so that's good.
Oh my gosh, you poor thing.
No, I was getting some
Thai massage.
Easter decorations for my wife from our attic. And on my way down, I misjudged one of the steps. And I didn't fall, like, a lot. But
I'm laughing because it seems you're relatively okay. Because people falling is hysterical as long as they don't get, like, really.
Yeah. Also, I love the excuse.
Because if I picture that in my head, it's pretty funny.
I'm sorry. It's just such a BS excuse. No, you're
we've all done it.
Fell.
We've all done it.
I totally.
You thought there was no more steps.
I own it. No. It was. So the way the attic stairs come down,
it's one of those fold down.
It was one of those
fold
down jobs.
Yeah. Those are tricky.
It's actually the one above my garage.
I throw shit down. I don't carry anything down.
If I get down to about the third step, I can turn and actually get into the door of my house.
Okay.
And I misjudged the distance between the two, and I missed the step.
Yeah.
And it sure probably was hilarious if I had a YouTube video on or something like that.
Because you survived.
But I fell, and I fell on books, and I bruised a rib, and had a nice big gash in my leg. Yeah, it was fun.
Okay.
And I walked around for like 10 minutes, and the girls are trying to help me. Like, Gemma was hilarious because she went immediately to where the Band-Aids were, and she got out like a fistful of Band-Aids, and she started just putting it on my leg. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, that is going to hurt like a mother when I take them off later because of the hair on my legs. But I just let her. I was like, kind of like, okay, we'll let her go with this.
And this was when?
This was yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
I'm sorry. Yes. I didn't mean to laugh.
Well, Tony?
I did mean to laugh, actually. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Totally
but it was wrong. It was wrong.
So, you know, we go uncut, contrary to what Tony wants.
Oh. But yeah, we go uncut.
Yeah, I know.
Except for Mariano.
Our guest Peter just walked in, so let's do a mic check.
Hey, Peter.
And let's introduce.
We can't even do proper introductions.
We know each other.
We know
Peter, Tony. Yeah. I don't know if you've met each other.
This is so awkward.
All right. No, it's okay.
It's not awkward.
Peter, do a mic check live on the episode. We don't care.
Say hey. Hello.
How are you? Good. I see that he put everything on Do Not Disturb. We're just doing our intro part here, Peter, so you wouldn't have had to talk anyway.
Oh, good.
But I wanted to make it awkward.
Lorenzo prefers you don't, actually.
No, well, he's been on one episode. You know that I'm on. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing good. I haven't fallen down any stairs.
No?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Everything is good.
You have an eye doctor appointment?
I do. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
So tell me, what kind of glasses do you need, and what do you need glasses for?
We have the same
for?
Glasses.
Like, yes. Okay, so I walk in here, and Lorenzo's like, you bastard, you have the same glasses I do. I said, no. I've had these for a year and a half, so you have the same glasses I do.
Yeah, but what's weird is that there's like 400,000 different
glasses.
Glasses.
That is weird.
I think it's
cute, actually, that you chose the same glasses I did.
Well, I chose it out of
inadvertently.
I chose it out of laziness. I looked at it. I picked the first five.
I did not. I chose.
Yeah, I know. You did a whole thing on
you.
Instagram
however, what is funny is that you're currently wearing glasses that have lenses, but they do nothing for you.
Yes,
so you're
that is
literally
correct. I'm trialing them
trialing
out.
Them out.
And the reason why.
But you know you don't have to wear them all the time.
So you know that I have to wear them
no,
all the
I do
time
know.
Because he's trying to make fun of me. And the reason why I'm wearing them is because the other glasses that I used to have used to give me a headache because the frames were too tight.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trialing them out. But Tony know that, but he just wanted to throw me under the bus.
These are the worst chairs in all of Bell Lab, with Bell Works, by the way.
Hello, it's Peter. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I had to sit in these things, and I can't stand
them. Okay, well.
You can stand if you'd like a lounge singer. Yeah, if that works for you.
Do you have a different chair than we do?
No, they suck.
Do you want to sit on my lap? So I mean, it's fine. Oh, well, don't do that. Okay. Peter, how are you?
Good.
Pete was on the Bellcast episode. Peter, why don't you just tell them again, or not me, them again, but me again, with them, what you do. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. Peter Dant. I'm a photographer since 2003. I've been doing this full time. And people and places are my specialty. So, you know, headshots for offices, interior, exterior, architectural photos, and then special events, special occasions, weddings, stuff like that.
Cool.
Now, you are also one of the original Bell Works people.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I like the story that you told me about when you walked in and you decided you wanted to come here or thought to come here, right?
Yeah.
And it was kind of looked like a warehouse.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I was ever in the building, the floor to the atrium was not even laid yet. So it was just rough concrete, and there was no finished office space except for Somerset Development had one office. And I got a tour of the place from, it was like a special event held by the Monmouth County Arts Organization that basically I think was just to try to get people in the building showing the place. Mm-hmm. And so I was hooked ever since. That was like 2014.
Yeah.
And you are here full time?
Yes.
And you just came from an appointment because you're here full time, right?
Yeah, right. I just was done showing portraits for a family portrait session and ran over here.
Are you doing the Easter special? Because we did not bring it up last time. Although this is not the people who are going to come here for it. But,
live bunny portraits I do every year for Easter, but they are done. The bunnies are back with the
what on the table or where? Dinner table or
pet
where?
Store?
Oh, the pet store. Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. Well, I mean, it's life.
No,
I mean,
it sure is. And we're European. It's fine.
Italians eat rabbit.
Yeah, so do
no cacciatore for me, thanks.
I used to.
You eat like sandpaper now.
As a matter of fact, I loved rabbit, but
you did
not anymore.
No, but so now you're just vegan.
Now I'm just vegan.
Okay,
yes.
Tony, did you? Hey, are you looking at me?
Good things that
I have eaten vegan. Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a huge fan.
No, me neither.
They are cute,
Pete. I don't know how this conversation.
No
went
cacciatore
that.
For me.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I see what you did there. Were you in the wedding world?
I still am.
You still are.
Mm-hmm.
And you started in 2003, right?
Yeah, well, I'm really doing it since 2000, full-time since 2003. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me the venue in New Jersey that you hate? That you really... some venues... let me ask you. When you were doing it in the beginning, were you doing solely weddings? And then you've...
I've always done family portraits and weddings.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And engagement shots and stuff?
Excuse me?
Engagement shots?
If the couple wants it.
Well, it seems like it's been more prominent, right, in the past 7 or 8 years where the engagement photo shoot has been a bigger deal. I don't remember engagement photo shoots being big in the late 90s and stuff like that.
Yeah, probably.
It's always been a package thing. So, you know, package A, B, or C. Some are built in, some are not.
Right.
So really just the couple, I think. It's you're just seeing it more because social media is more prevalent.
That's a good point.
And, yeah, no, of course, you know, yes.
So,
yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
But, no, I've been doing them forever, too.
Well, you have two DJs at the table, so say everything you hate about what DJs do at weddings.
I told you my favorite thing about DJs is you get to halfway through the reception, you have dinner with the DJs and whoever the other vendors are, and the DJ sits down and goes, oh, I am exhausted. And I've been with the bride and groom for 12 hours, especially in the middle of the summer, sweating my ass off, and they're exhausted for 2 hours of work at the DJ booth. I'm like, well, how does this compute?
Now, Tony, don't you worry, because he said this in the other podcast, and I shot right back at him, and I said, if I have to see one more post about a photographer telling me, well, they didn't feed me, you have a full week of doing nothing. You do absolutely zero during the whole week. Bring 3 power
bars. This is going to be so much
no,
fun.
No, Peter and I are good. In truth, we just both bash on the whole industry in general. Okay. But I said to him, I mean, every time a power, make a ham sandwich is nice, outside of for Mariano. But a ham sandwich is okay.
Cheese sandwich,
he could use
whatever.
A ham sandwich, too. But the...
Yes.
What's that?
You could use a ham sandwich.
No, I'm good. I actually wanted to know, you said that you've been doing this since 2000.
Yeah.
What did you do before that? Or
I just was working for other photographers. I've always been a photographer since I got out of school. Mm-hmm. I went to school for photography, University of Cincinnati. Go Bearcats. Oh, they lost in the first round. But, I worked for several photographers in New York City. I worked for Annie Leibovitz's studio. I didn't really work closely with her, but learned a lot doing that. And other photographers in New York. And then, had a kid and realized I got to make some serious money. So started doing more of my own work.
Yeah.
That was the impetus for you to start your own thing?
Yes and no. I actually did a lot of fine art photography when I first got out of school and tried to sell to galleries and whatnot, but sold very little. And that's kind of what made me pivot to more commercial work, was just to try to still do photography but make money doing it. So.
And do you still do fine art as a hobby, or do you?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
What makes it fine? I'm not trying to be a smart
person. No, more theoretical, gestural images. I did a lot of collages, actually pre-Photoshop collages, mm-hmm. and also Photoshop collages, but not something more than just a straight photograph. For me, that makes it more of a fine art piece, but that you could still take one image and make it a fine art piece. It just depends on your, the way you work.
Do you enjoy the architecture here, I would assume?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're doing the market, right, on Wednesdays?
I do sell some, a select set of images of the building, because I've done so much work for the developer of the building, and he doesn't do anything with them. So I'm like, if you don't mind, I'm going to take a few and sell them as a small edition. So I have 14 images I sell as a Bellworks Fine Art Editions.
That's cool.
If you want, email me. I'll send you the link.
Are they asking for a cut?
But
are they asking
for the owner of the building actually joked when he first saw my setup, and he's like, I guess we got some copyright issues here. I go, all right, my lawyers are ready if yours are. And he's like, yeah, forget it.
He's like, nah, I'm good. Tony, have you ever been to Cleveland?
Never have. No.
What do you think about Cleveland?
I know nothing about Cleveland.
No.
The Indians live there, don't they?
Yes. Cleveland Indians, yes.
The Cleveland Indians. Yes, don't let Lorenzo go with that. The Cleveland Indians.
Mariano, have you ever been to Cleveland, Ohio?
I have not been to
what
Cleveland.
What do you know about Cleveland?
I know that the Cleveland Indians are there.
They're too smart. I'm trying to throw them on the bus.
No one even brought up the river.
No.
I don't. Is there a Cleveland
this
river?
Is Jersey. We don't really give a crap about anybody else. Peter is from Cleveland.
Born and raised Cleveland, Ohio, yeah.
Trying to get them to throw you under the bus, or the city of Cleveland under the bus.
Oh, so like say something nasty about Cleveland.
Well, it used to be that the reputation was poor, and maybe it was somewhat
in the
true.
60s, the Cuyahoga River that runs through the main part of downtown caught on fire from pollution. Oh.
Water fell? Oh, water got on fire?
Caught on fire.
Only in Cleveland, folks.
The irony.
What
they put it out with.
Like fire, even more bad pollution or chemicals or whatever. But
the thing that I was going to ask you about that is, I thought the Charles River was bad, and I'm originally from Massachusetts. But how long ago did you move from Cleveland to here? And what was the
New York City? When I got out of school, and some of my friends had already moved here, and then I realized that I should pursue photography here, so, yeah.
Do you still root for the home teams?
Oh, yeah. Well, we already had this conversation, too.
Yeah, but...
Your favorite team? Just any team. Pro team.
Oh, baseball, basketball?
Doesn't matter. Just pick
Red
one.
Red Sox.
Okay, so if you... Well, you moved here how long ago?
2003.
Yeah, so you're not rooting for the Yankees, right?
No, definitely.
Yeah. So if you're from here and you root for the Yankees and you move to Cleveland for a job, you're not going to start rooting for the Indians.
No, I agree completely.
So everyone's like, oh, you've been here 20 years, you got to root for the Yankees. I'm like, no, I don't.
I agree 100%.
That's all the Yankee fans that say that. Because they're all assholes.
I just know that there are some people who are transplants who weren't necessarily fans when they moved out here.
Right.
And then they became fans because of the culture or whatever. So I was just curious.
Yeah.
Are you insinuating that you might consider leaving the Red Sox?
No. No, as a matter of fact, my son, who was born here, is a diehard Red Sox fan. And it's funny because I'm a Red Sox fan, but I don't like wear it on my sleeve.
Right.
But my son is 100% diehard. Like, I would say more so than I am. Knows all the statistics, and he can back it up.
It's because all his friends are crazy Yankee fans.
Exactly.
Probably.
Pete, have you ever done any presentations? Because you were talking about doing something here, right? At one point?
Well, yeah, I'm doing a seminar for the Professional Photographers of America in May. They have they ask photographers to do seminars on their specialty, so I'm doing one on weddings. You have to sign up through their website.
Is that vendors, right?
It would be photographers.
Okay.
Other photographers starting out.
It would be specific wedding vendors, wedding photographers, or can it be open to any kind of
This one is really for weddings. That's okay. The concentration of this class is for about learning to photograph weddings, learning to sell weddings, so on and so forth.
And you've done presentations before in front of?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mariano has a couple of them coming up.
Yes.
I want to see if this has evolved. He's doing the same content, which I want to know the difference. The fascination is that one of them is for 15 minutes, and
which
another
I've done.
One
that was this past weekend.
Oh, okay. Yes. And the other one is for 2 hours.
Yes.
So he had to compact the content, correct?
What's the 15 minute one about? How is that?
It's all about digital marketing. So 15 minutes, the way I'm approaching it is 15 minutes is an overview. Like
Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Goodbye, everybody.
No. I talk about their 6 fundamentals of digital marketing. First one being your website, second one being local SEO, then you do PPC, social, reputation management, and email. Like all of these should be at least considered as part of your online strategy. So the 15-minute talk was a little bit more about the evolution of that and how you could potentially incorporate that into your business plan. The two-hour one is going to take each of those fundamentals and dive a little deeper into them. So,
were you nervous?
But so is this
a
just
little bit.
Through your website or like when you say 15 minutes, how do you go anywhere and do something for 15 minutes and not keep going? That's what I mean.
Oh, it was no. I was invited to do it as part of the Vision Expo conference in New York last week. One of the vendors there, we work with one of the vendors who were going to be there, and they asked me to do the presentation for them.
And so you got 15 minutes.
And so I got 15 minutes, and it couldn't be me selling anything. It had to be informational. So it was really that's where I went with it. And now the two-hour presentation, like I said, I'm going to do a deeper dive into each of those fundamentals, how much you should expect to spend overall, and then how much you should expect to spend for each of those fundamentals. So, and what you would get for those budgets.
What's funny is Tony and myself for a short window of time do 15-minute presentations stretched over a 4-hour period of time, because that's about as much as we talk on a microphone at a wedding during a 4-hour gig. And how's that going for you, Tony?
It's going pretty well.
Yeah? still enjoying it?
Yeah, of course I am.
Do you? And what I mean, I don't mean do you like in a bad way. I mean, like, is the prep work and all that stuff still as exciting? Because I know you like doing that kind of stuff, but then it leads to the 4-hour gig or event.
I wouldn't say that the prep work is, I wouldn't describe it as exciting.
That's why
I am exceptionally meticulous and detailed, but that's also been a huge factor to what I would consider my success. So a lot of my couples it's come to be known, I've embraced it as part of my brand, so to speak. So the couples that tend to gravitate to me, they have a certain personality. Personality would be a little bit more casual, expecting me to take the reins, and they expect a pretty high level of detail coming from me, and almost to be led through the informational process, which they find comforting. The other, opposite end of the spectrum would be somebody who is also exceptionally detailed and is looking for somebody to be like-minded, but then the difficulty becomes...
You mean as a client? The client's
correct.
Detailed.
Correct.
Do you butt heads?
So, rarely. I would say probably never, because I kind of put a few things out there right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I don't mean in a confrontational way. I just make sure they understand where I'm coming from. And I usually joke something along the lines of, are you going to take that day off?
Yeah.
So if you're going to take that day off, that's awesome. But if you're not going to take that day off, it's going to be like really difficult to execute, because then basically that's also very often the type of person who will give me, 100-song playlist or something like
right.
that.
And if it's the guy, you can explain to him that sense. He should start to learn how to not have control of anything in his life.
It's rarely the guy, dude.
Oh, is it really? Because the guys usually come in, they're either eh, or they're big into the music.
Yeah.
Part,
right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that could go either way.
So. Do you know anybody who is the opposite of you in the industry that's meticulous, that works within your range and has a sidecar bicycle?
Sidecar. Yeah, no.
No. Well, okay, so that, I know this just turned the left curve, but the meticulous part about it, right? Mm-hmm. When, have you ever thought to yourself, and I might know the answer, but have you ever thought to yourself that you need to not have that as much during the actual wedding non-programming part? Like sometimes your personality goes into the way you talk or the things you do say versus what you could say, the type of music. Do you think the meticulousness comes into the 4 hours of the event?
If I understand the question correctly, the reason I'm so meticulous and detailed in the beginning is so that I can actually relax, so to speak, for lack of a better term. It's not relax. It's actually go time, show time, whatever you want to call it, during the 4 or 5, 6 hours of the actual event. Because if I go in half-assed or if I go in unprepared, which never happens, I get stressed. I get anxious. You potentially set yourself up for, you know, something falling through the cracks, missing a special moment, dedication, screwing up a song, you know, things of that sort. So that can't happen on my watch. And that's why I take so much time in the beginning. So during the event, I'm actually, I mean, as focused as I am and as, you know, attention to detailed as I am, I'm pretty relaxed, for lack of a better term, because that's not the right term. But like I've got my game plan, basically. So
Peter, when you do the photography part, are you ultra structured in terms of understanding that you could have a great day, but you forget to take the photo of Aunt May and then everything is ruined? Or are you like, what's the type of bride that you like, or the client that you like, or that you get more free flowing? Or do you like it where a couple says we need this, this, and this, and then you can do whatever you want? Mm-hmm.
All of the above. I mean,
ones that pay cash.
Okay. <Exactly. laughs>
After we've gone from there, yes.
Well, just like Tony said, as long as you're prepared, you're ready for everything and anything that day. So, you know, the bride and groom meet with me more than once before every wedding, and they're always like, oh, we got to come in, you know, 2 weeks before. Really? I'm like, yes, really. And they're like, in person. And they're like, really? But we live so far. I'm like, I don't care. Well, I'll meet you halfway, whatever. We're getting together and going over this one more time, because they're always like, you know, there's that Aunt May or whatever photo that they, oh, yeah, did we tell you about that one or whatever? So, but no, the only problems I ever have are wedding planners.
Oh.
They like to screw everything up.
Do say.
But
Donis, you stay quiet. You're still in the industry.
Oh, I'm quiet.
I'll talk for us. Don't worry.
Other than that, you know, just like Tony said, we make a game plan way ahead of time, and I don't meet with brides and grooms the week of the wedding. I won't meet with them.
You meet with the event planner, because you could do all this stuff at the event planner shows.
Well,
up
today. Well, I've had that happen once in a really bad way, but yes, I had one bad, really bad experience, but that's a whole nother, that's like a whole entire episode of your blog, your podcast. But no, for the most part, we sit down, we talk about any photos that they specifically request with a grandmother, an aunt, whatever, friends, all that kind of stuff. And then I make my plan after I meet with the bride and groom, how I'm going to execute everything. So, yeah.
Do you meet with the event planner ever? Actually, I've seen a lot of event planners come with the couple, right?
Yeah, so first of all, you have to kind of back out of that, the amount of couples that I have that have a planner.
What do you mean back out of it?
Well, you have to start there. You have to start with like, how many couples do I actually have that are using a planner?
Right.
Which, in my personal experience, is actually relatively low.
Mm-hmm. About 20%, right?
Not even,
if that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. No, okay. I would say personally lower than that.
Yeah.
You mostly do weddings around here, or?
No, well, we're all over the place. We're based in Jersey, but
not New York.
Not New York.
Yeah. I think that's why you run into more of them.
Yeah. So that has a lot to do with it. The type of client has a lot to do with it. Again, I have had some New York couples that are getting married in Jersey.
Right.
Sometimes they'll have a planner, or they'll just have a day of coordinator.
Yeah.
Which
that was mine.
That's kind of a big thing. It's kind of a big thing now, I'd say over the last few years, because they don't
want to spend the money.
Well,
no, it's just a sales tactic. They're still spending the money on the planner. They just say, oh, you don't need us for the year. We'll just do the mine with the last 30-day planner. Well, I'm sure they still spent a fortune on this lady because she thought she was way more important than everybody else.
Right, right. And that's right. And that's going to vary based on, you know, who you're using. But like day of planners, I'll often get looped in towards the end of the planning process. And I always reach out beforehand and you know, kind of like open the doors of communication. Everybody gets a fair shot with me. And so
communication, excuse me.
Right. So with that, I would say small percentage of my couples actually use planners. If they are using a planner for the entire process, they've often been included in the meetings or the consultations or the calls or what have you. And then usually I'll ask the couple how they would like me to proceed after that first meeting or what have you. Would you rather I go through your planner? Would you like me to loop everybody in? Do you prefer me to come to you? Like, you know, because everybody's different. Like, they might have a planner, but they could still be, like, really hands-on, or they just want to be CC'd on everything and looped and whatever. So sometimes it becomes redundant.
Do you play your flag in the ground the day of the wedding? And like, okay, it's nice you've been the planner. I'm in charge now. Because it can get, no, you try to.
No, you, so my perspective, excuse me, my perspective is that confrontation doesn't lead to anything other than more confrontation.
Well, when it's brought to you, because you're not a confrontational person. I know
No, I can be, but no,
you're
not.
Right. No.
Yeah. I mean,
you're
it's not like
right
I'm gonna,
now with me,
I'm not
going to
be swept under the rug, yeah. You know, or shooed away. So, and you know, I have my own way of dealing with that. If first of all, I think everybody should be on the same page. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about bringing all this stuff together and making magic, I'd like to say, right? I know that's corny, but it's true. So if a planner does become a little confrontational or a little bossy, I'll allow it for a moment until I can't allow it anymore, and then I'll have a conversation with them.
Is it usually about what they feel the time for a certain part of music gets played?
It could be that. It could be setup. It could be lighting. It could
really?
Be... Yeah.
What would they... Okay.
Because the light's supposed to be over here, and why is it over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah. I mean, I can understand them only being concerned about when the photographer, like, that kind of stuff, but, like, outside of that. But, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of minutiae. Again, it depends on the personalities.
Yeah.
And it depends, quite honestly, there are a lot of fantastic planners I've worked with, believe it or not. There are some less than stellar planners that I've worked with, to be quite candid. And some of the ones who are less than stellar try to be more than they.
It seems like that the
can
planner
handle the day of
world is a very easy cost to entry in terms of like I'm a planner.
Yeah, they're low barriers to entry. So yes, and the real planners, in their defense, see that just like DJs, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, but DJ, you
understood.
Have to,
there's more to it, but I'm just comparing the ratio, so to speak. Like anybody can. Within a couple of months, kind of figure shit out.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm a DJ and I Vistaprint.
Right.
Boom, done.
Here's my iPod.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So there's an even lower barrier to entry to become a day of coordinator, to become a quote unquote planner. But the true planners, in their defense, I think are just as resentful those people as, you know, some of us are to, you know, the guys who call themselves DJs and like, you don't know shit about what it is that we're bringing to the table.
Right.
You know, versus.
Well, there's
playing music
the barriers to entry in the whole industry are very low now, where they used a lot of
So photography
so it drives the whole professionalism down.
I could push back a little bit on that because I don't think it is as much for DJs and photographers because you guys have to have a portfolio on some level to show people. An event planner doesn't have to.
But you could have an iPod or a tablet and a speaker, and I could have
a cheap camera
from Costco and a flash, and we're professional photographers and
Costco
DJs.
Costco sells nice cameras.
Yeah.
Right, but then when I go, when I say, okay, when I want to book one of you two, and I go to some sort of media content, whether it's website, and you don't have content, then what do we do from there?
But if you're referred by your friend who says, Peter's a good photographer, you got to use him for your wedding.
Well,
and
well
I
it depends
you
on what
don't
that
know
comes
that I just
with.
Started out. Like,
well,
whatever.
And then you can take that to the next level, quite honestly. And I have been made aware of... photographers, for example, to compare, because our industries, I think, are quite parallel when it comes to these types of conversations. I've been made aware of, you know, photographers who are using other people's images on their websites. Yeah. And you know, they just kind of like figure it out as they go, you know?
Right.
Fake it till you get till booked you or whatever, you know?
So now, is there, do you guys have anything like a apprenticeship type of environment, either in as a DJ or as a photographer where, because you mentioned, you know, somebody could get an iPod and and a speaker and do a wedding or or et cetera. But is there some way, instead of having a barrier to entry, to do it on your own, is there some way that people train with you guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have that.
Yeah. The Professional Photographers of America, which I was talking about before, has about 30,000 members countrywide, and they try to push those things. You could actually become a master photographer. You can become a master wedding photographer, a master family portrait. They have all these...
certificates,
yeah,
I guess, quote
yeah, unquote. Certifications to help that, even though it's not by law, like an electrician has to have it. But at least it tries to elevate some of that professionalism. But like I said, unfortunately, kids don't care anymore. And they, you know, I worked for a lot of photographers before I said, okay, I think I can do this on my own.
That's how you learned.
I didn't just, oh, I got a camera, let me just go start booking stuff, which I think today happens a little more often. Because, you know, I've had way too many people tell me, oh, we should have called you. We should have called a professional.
Yeah, after the fact.
After it's over. So I don't think you heard as much of that years ago.
Do you want to start the Lomo Photography Company?
No.
Molo? No, I mean, would Molo be better for you?
Vegan.
Sure, if it's with you, then yes. Well, photography is one of those things that I think actually personally has always been of interest to me.
Likewise.
You know, I love a nice photo. Not to say that I could go out there and take a nice photo, but I just love...
You appreciate it.
I appreciate it. And if I had... And if actually, I would pick it up as a hobby if I had time, but it's just one of those things that I'm going to have to wait until I retire.
Don't do that.
By then, the chip will be in your brain. You won't have to take any.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'll just blink my eyes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
So Peter, how do you approach? So when a client comes to you, are they coming to you with their vision so that you can kind of assimilate into that vision and you're going to create that, or is it more like they're coming to you for your eye, and they want you to lead, so to speak? Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
How does that usually work for you?
I think most people come to me and defer to me. For the most part, I'm the professional. I've been doing it long enough. They can see, you know, most of my clients now are referral based, so they kind of already have an understanding of who I am before they get here. But I really believe that you do need to lead the client to a certain extent about what you do, about your profession. And if you can't, then you're really not. You shouldn't be in it. So, you know, you have to know about. The DJs setting up at certain times, and you have to know about the limo drivers' issues and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And if you can't have those kind of conversations with the client, then you're just not as, I guess, it's experienced or whatever. I don't know if another word for that would be, but...
Well, you're not bringing value to the table.
Yeah, so there's definitely clients still come to me and say, well, we want this photo or we want to be in this location for photos. But very rarely do they like say, all right, we got to set it up X, Y, and Z, or put the camera here, or that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think for the most part, people kind of respect what I do and appreciate me personally if they're booking me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is that I think that question, although it was directed to you specifically and you know, answered from a photographer's perspective, I think that applies to pretty much anybody who could be listening, who could be in any sort of... you know, business environment, I suppose art on some level, more so, but it's more about, you know, once you do have that body of work and once you've got the experience, you have to be confident that you are bringing that value to the table. So it gets to where you can, you know, kind of weed out clients that aren't necessarily yours. And I think a big thing for business people, entrepreneurs, especially just starting out, where you have to say no to a client because your instinct is to say yes to every client.
The power of no.
Because everybody is a paycheck.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's how I started answering the phone. No.
No. Are you sure? I don't know.
I don't even say hello. No.
Actually, I know you don't say hello.
What do I say? Do I say something weird?
You say no as soon as you pick up. No.
Oh, okay.
He says no to me all the time. He doesn't even pick up the phone.
You're very handsy. You're very handsy.
he hangs up on me right away and then texts me no. So, I'm just kidding.
Are you confusing me with Sam?
Maybe, yeah. Sam does it all the time.
Okay, or your wife, possibly.
I thought that's where you were going.
First is his business wife, and then is his wife.
Right.
Both who are no, and I keep telling everybody he's handsy. What do you want me to tell you? Go ahead, Mary. Bring it back.
I want to go back to that point because I think it's important. I think people have to remember that they're hiring you for your experience, and you have a deeper understanding of things that they, as non-professionals, don't. Like, mm-hmm. I can bring it to the website world, sure, as well. You know, when we're building a website, we think about things like how, you know, we've built thousands of them at this point. We know what people click on. We know what people pay attention to. We know about color contrast so that colorblind people can actually see the things that we want them to see. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that you wouldn't get unless you have that experience. So yep. I think you have to kind of rely on that idea and sell that idea that, hey, listen, you're hiring me because you have a vision, and I will ask you the questions to get you to that vision, mm-hmm, but I'm going to be the one that works on the details.
Yeah,
to
facilitate.
Get there.
Yeah,
I just need to know.
You're the professional.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas yesterday I had a conversation about a website I'm working on, and for probably of the 40 minutes of the conversation, and there's a story behind this, but for the 40 minutes, I'd say about 15 minutes were comments like, what if we take the color of that horizontal bar and move it up like 10 pixels?
Oh, no.
No. Now,
you don't like that?
I didn't mind it in 1998.
And that's a good point I want to touch on. Go ahead.
And the problem was there was a... I'll explain this. There was an event planner in between. Not truly an event planner because it wasn't a wedding, but there was someone in the middle, and that person in the middle got fed up with the situation, and I said, get out of the way of the middle. And I just had to appease, and I said, well, you know, we can move. I'll take a look at it, and we'll see what happens. And I'm like, this is what we're talking about, 10 pixels?
Right.
And that's the example, but please, yes.
It's funny because I brought that up, but by the same token, and this probably is more geared towards, let's call them younger, or actually let's call them less experienced. When you're less experienced, you have to take a lot of stuff on the chin, right? So maybe in 1990 something, you would have had those conversations probably ad nauseum for hours because you're kind of like getting your chops in.
Well, is it because, let me ask you, I still had the conversation because I had to be respectful to the
Understood.
Client.
Understood. But you also curtailed that conversation, though.
Yeah, no. Well, I think I addressed it, well, or curtailed, yes, as part of it. I addressed it in a way where I didn't fight it because it didn't matter to me and wasn't going to matter.
Sure.
Because what often happens, and I'll let you finish off on this, is when you ask a client what they think, they'll usually tell you. And meaning that you could have the most greatest everything, and if you ask anybody what they think, they'll usually tell you. Very rarely would say it's perfect because they want to feel like they also can express.
Yep.
So part of me was also like, well, if she's talking about this, it's because we have nothing else to talk about. So I just let her have it, right?
Got it.
Let her thought she wins, and that's the end of it.
It's a small gift.
That's where it is,
small
right? That's the game of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, let them have the battle.
Yeah.
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 Contrary to marriage.
That goes without saying.
Yes. Say the four men in the room.
Yeah.
But one of our wives on this podcast.
I'll let you finish. I have thought about doing... Did you guys watch the Seinfeld episode where Kramer gets the Merv Griffin stage?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay, so basically, I'll give it quick. He rents the old...
No, he pulled it out of the garbage.
Well, wherever he gets it. Pete, don't cut me off. It's my show. No, just kidding. That's what.
That's great.
So he basically, from the garbage, gets the Merv Griffin stage and puts it in his office. In his apartment. And Jerry and Elaine and everybody walk in there and they're like, what the hell is going on? And he does the whole, welcome to, you know, the whole thing. And basically he sets Jerry up as a guest and then brings out the person who is the whole part of the episode that, you know, he's fighting with, right? So I thought about that concept and then playing the music, and then in walk in the three wives, and have some wives. I'd be like, so yes, that, okay. Now, Tony, you were talking about
good
something.
Good luck coordinating that schedule.
Yes. Well, maybe if, yeah, no. Okay. But that won't
I'm not giving you my wife's number, sorry. No.
Oh, you shouldn't.
No. That was, okay, yes. Anyway, so let's bring it back to that.
Okay.
Pineapple on pizza, do you like that?
No.
Okay. Marietta?
You asked me this.
Yeah, I know.
Completely separate.
I know, but he wasn't here.
I said I've had pineapple pizza in the past, and I did enjoy it.
Okay, you don't have to be angry about it. I know I asked you, but Peter wasn't on it, and Tony wasn't on it. Can you just play with the whole...
You're a little angry. He's got. He fell down yesterday. Give him a break.
Nobody and nobody asked me why I'm sore. But anyway, Peter pineapple pizza.
That's a big thumbs down for me.
Okay, thank you. All right, Tony, try and make a valid point from what you were doing because I've clearly ruined it.
You haven't.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. No. What if, I was going to swing the pendulum because we were talking about like bringing a lot to the table and experience, etc. Basically, what I was getting to is don't be a douche. When you're inexperienced and you think you know it all, get your chops in. Do say yes to more clients than you probably want to.
Yes.
Right? I didn't mean you don't be a douche.
No. I said, and I'm angry and you're like,
oh,
don't
no,
be a
I'm not angry. No. Okay. Not angry at all. I'm trying to bring it back.
Okay, good.
So, because when you're inexperienced and you think you know it all, you have the tendency to like better than everybody, and you never actually get those chops in. You never actually get all that experience.
Is this more wedding stuff or
no,
DJ?
It could be,
No.
Could be
I'm
anything.
Asking you, is it more wedding DJ that you see that in or DJ in general? And I know it's probably pretty close, yeah. But because you can't get mad at a DJ who's getting $100 at a club and he's learning, right?
Right.
But
no, I'm not.
I would get mad at a wedding DJ who was charging $1,800 who didn't really understand the at least
potentially,
the basics.
Yes,
of it,
yeah.
Right? Like you don't have to be at your level.
Yeah.
Because there was a time that you weren't.
Absolutely.
But like, there's when the person is coming in.
Okay.
Honestly.
So yes, I understand that. But my point was go be that $100 a night DJ and learn stuff.
So I've heard this
in other words, take all the jobs is what I'm saying. Because you're only bringing so much to the table at that point.
Well, plus
you're
you don't
learning.
Know what kind of jobs you like.
You're learning,
at that
right.
Point.
So you can apply that to photography. You can apply that to
you can apply that to almost anything.
But here's an argument that I've heard in the wedding industry quite often. Do what you're saying, which I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they do what you're saying, you guys get, not you two per se, but you guys get mad as an industry because, they're cutting the price for everybody. Well, you can't do weddings for $900 because now you're going to knock us all down.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I've
ever
heard.
I'm not saying one or the other. I'm just saying I've seen both sides of it. Come in, charge within a reasonable range, and then when they
No.
No. I'm just putting
argument,
it out. And you guys argue together.
That argument is moot.
Okay.
But you can't charge $150 for a wedding. What
you
are you, crazy?
Anything you want to.
Yeah.
However.
It's a free market.
You can charge.
No, but I'm seeing. I've seen
to.
A lot of complaints about the fact.
I understand.
So it's kind of hard to say to someone who's coming in, "Well, what should I charge?" Because I deal with wedding DJs and stuff like that, and they're telling me their prices and stuff, and I'm like, "Whatever you want to charge is fine. You just have to bring at least a basic minimum service, so that if you are the $900 DJ, you're not going to call
right.
them and meet with them in an office three times,
right?
But
right,
you
right.
better bring it. That 4 hours, I better not know what the difference
that's right.
is. To a certain point, right?
You're absolutely right. You can charge
but the
anything
services you,
want. You
provide up to it, I understand. Like
you can apply
the,
that.
The other, I think the other advantage that you have is that each of your, presumably most times,
mm-hmm.
each of your clients are going to be different. So if you go to 10 weddings and you're charging $400 for each of those weddings, and then the next wedding you go to $800. They're not going to have any idea of what.
Well,
your
they might
is.
Because a lot of this is referrals.
Okay,
so
well,
they might.
But I'm saying what I'm saying is that you can start to build that portfolio
yep.
and start to build up.
Sure.
And people have got to expect that. I mean,
sure.
the more you know of your business, the less of a chance it's playing with the percentages, right?
Yep.
So the less of a chance you're going to screw something up.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So people are going to, that's what people want to pay for. They
that's
want to know
for.
That they, it, this is one thing I do not have to worry about on my special
that's
day.
Right.
And it's the same thing for
that's
almost
right.
anything. Like it's,
right.
it's, hey, I'm, I, when we're building websites, we didn't charge as much before because we didn't have as much experience. Now we have tons of experience.
Exactly.
2,000 websites, 98% of people that come to us give us a great rating. So why, you know...
Smooth experience with, yeah, with the client.
Wait, all right, real quick. How long have you been doing websites? Just approximately? Since when?
2005 is when we started our company.
Does that mean I've done more than 2,000 weddings because I've been doing weddings longer?
Oh,
no, I've never counted.
I don't know about that.
I've put out 3,900 pieces into the digital world, and I did this because something came up a couple weeks ago. So I did almost 4,000 pieces in the past 11 years.
Well,
nobody gives a shit.
I give a shit.
I know you give a shit.
I was around for that.
No, you don't care. I'm looking at Mariano. Good, you don't even know what to say. You know what that is?
What's your point?
My point is that...
You just want to be angry
with
Mariano?
No, I'm really effing proud of myself.
You should be proud.
You should be proud. And what
like
I'm saying
on
is...
On my back, every single piece of everything.
Absolutely.
All I'm saying to you is that that demonstrates your understanding of the industry. So when somebody comes to you and you say to them, I did 3,900 pieces or, you know, 4,000 websites or 20,000 websites, especially if you're a small company, a lot of that experience is concentrated with very few people. So chances are you're going to get a good result if you work with that company. You build that reputation. People start asking for you by name. You know, they want to know, hey, Screaming Lunatic did this website, and this website, all of which I like. I'm going to go call him as opposed to somebody because this project is important to me.
And then you get,
so there's a little bit of
then
ego
you dial too. Me and you get no.
Right.
Yes.
He is a lunatic.
How'd you get my number?
Why are you calling me? Okay. So we haven't covered wedding stuff in a while.
Okay.
Thanks, Pete.
Sure. Thank you.
You are website, all that fun stuff.
PeterDantPhotography.com.
Peter Dant, D-A-N-T, correct?
Yes.
And you're located in Bellworks. Are you, and most of New Jersey, all of New Jersey, anywhere New Jersey?
I'll go to New York City and all of New Jersey and do not charge extra for it. How about that?
And you're doing family stuff, right?
Yep, family portraits.
Bio photos.
Yep, headshots.
Right.
Executive portraits.
Okay. Mariana, do you need like a photo for the company soon when they come in?
Not right now, no.
No. If you've seen them, you would know. It'll be an uphill battle in Photoshop and stuff. Tony, everything okay there?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you're rotating.
I'm just enjoying the swivel chairs.
You're like
Peter,
my Jack Tripper.
Like the chairs.
You remember Jack Tripper?
Oh, yeah.
Jack Tripper was a physical comedian.
Very physical.
I pick up on every
very physical.
Physical movement.
I do talk with my hands, even when no one's watching.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys. Episode 36, it's in the can.
Bye.